I think I could probably get in a hurry and just run over a lot of these people that are mentioned here in the 11th chapter and say, well, we've always been exposed to the truths of these stories. We know what happened, and just move on and, quote, get on to something interesting. But just look at the circumstances. Here were people who were just ready to quit, and some of them had already quit going to church. And they'd been introduced to Christianity. They'd been a part of it for a while, some of them maybe for a few years, maybe some for a few months. And now they're ready to forsake the assembling of themselves together. They're ready to just lay it aside. And now Paul's using all of these people, and he's saying by faith. And the things that he mentions by faith are rather extraordinary things. So if we're not careful, we get the idea that we don't need faith unless there's a crisis. We don't need faith unless there's some extraordinary thing about to occur. Or maybe we need faith in order to make something happen that is so outlandish we could never make it happen unless we made it happen by faith. In other words, we can do all the things that we need to do. We can live our lives, work on our jobs, go to school. We can do all these things. They don't need any faith for this. But you know, if some crisis came along, then we'd need faith. And that is really not what Paul's trying to tell these people. Is kind of get everything together so that if something really happens, you can jump a long way. You know, what really happens if a person wants to excel in athletics, you train every day, and then every once in a while there's an extraordinary athletic feat. Someone makes a diving catch. But they didn't just stand around and never do anything until that opportunity presented itself, because if they had, they probably would have never made it. But Paul is saying the just shall live by faith. Live by faith. Every day. All of our life is a faith life. We're just strangers and pilgrims in this land. We're sojourners. And look at our life every day as a day to be lived by faith. Not just unless something big comes up, then I won't need faith. So I think that's such an important lesson. I think it's so important that I want to pay more attention perhaps than we normally would to these people who are just mentioned in one or two verses of Scripture. For instance, Isaac. Now, it doesn't seem like Isaac really did much, but the Bible tells us by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Now, that doesn't seem to be much. Isaac by faith blessed Jacob and Esau. Until we read the rest of the Scripture, that's verse 20 of chapter 11, where he writes concerning things to come. Remember, when did Isaac bless Jacob and Esau? Was it just before he died, when all of the problems had been settled and laid aside? No, he blessed Jacob and Esau when it seemed that his life was ending. The Bible says that it was when his eyes were dim and his strength was failing, but we realize he lived many more years after that. But he blessed them concerning things that were to come. That is, it was faith that enabled Isaac to speak to his sons after they were estranged, really, or after the acts that would cause them to be estranged had already been committed. And yet in faith he spoke to them concerning the future. And that's all that Paul mentions concerning Isaac. that it was by faith. Now, maybe we could have picked something else out of the life of Isaac. Maybe we would have. But the Holy Spirit led Paul to write concerning Isaac. Then, by faith, Jacob. This doesn't seem all that important until we consider the Israelites and who they were, that is, God's people. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. He was in the process of dying. He was in the later years of his life. And he blessed these two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who had been born of an Egyptian woman, and Joseph. And he knew by which hand to arrange so that he blessed the younger rather than the elder with the choicest of blessings. But it was by faith, when he was dying, that he blessed both the sons of Jacob. And remember, or Joseph rather, he did the same thing that Isaac did when Isaac blessed Esau and Jacob. He simply identifies them as the people of God whom would be faithful in serving God. And he worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. He really displayed faith that here is the end of things. Here's the end of my life. Here's the end of all things unless God, through you, continue the life that has been given to us concerning the one whom would be born into this world. By faith, Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the Israelites. He made mention. It means that he remembered what God had said hundreds of years earlier of the fact that the Israelites would leave the land of Egypt. And this had been such a prominent part of his memory and of his life. Now this is Joseph, realizing that those people would be called up out of Egypt. He literally said to them by faith, when you leave Egypt, I want you to take my bones with you. He was literally embalmed, and he was done after the according to the Egyptians. But when Moses left Egypt, here's what he said in Exodus 13:19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Now notice, for he had straitly, that is, Joseph had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. There was nothing urgent about it. The command that he gave, when he says that he gave commandment concerning his bones, just simply said, when y'all leave, take my body or my bones with you. So, well, that doesn't seem like that would require a great deal of faith. Well, we're not talking about, quote, faith to move mountains, but we're talking about faith. Look at these circumstances here. It's not, you know, we're going to see where by faith Moses parted the waters, or the waters were parted, and by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. But this is not a wall of Jericho circumstance. The idea that I'm dying and when y'all leave, take my bones with you, that doesn't seem of too great a consequence. What Paul wanted these people to see is that by faith he said, when you go, carry my bones. Implying, I know God will keep his promise. I know you'll leave someday. And when you leave, just remember to take my bones with you. And what spectacular thing is there about having your bones carried out of a particular place? It's not spectacular. That's not what the Bible is trying to say. The Bible is trying to say, look at the faith of the man who said, when you go, carry my bones. By faith, we should read the parents of Moses in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. And when we read the account in the book of Genesis of Moses being hidden, we understand that an order had been given that all the male children were to be slain. And so when Moses was born, he was hidden, kept secret. He was concealed. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months, now notice, of his parents. You read about his sister, you read about those who watched, and you don't read about the parents of Moses. You see his mother involved as a person who was brought to nurse him. Their names are not mentioned here, or in the book of Genesis, and their names are not mentioned here. Yet, the word parents really means both the father and the mother. Both of them. The parents. So, Paul gives us some extra information here. How was this beautiful child, and that's what the words proper mean, that he was elegant, fair, exceedingly fair. Evidently, he was just an extremely beautiful baby boy. And when they saw him, his parents saw him, they said, we're not going to do what the law of the land teaches us to do. We're not going to take his life. We're not going to abandon him. We're not going to give him up. And so they hid him for 3 months. And the reason they were able to do this, the Bible tells us, is by faith. And here's what. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Why weren't they afraid of the king's commandment? Because they had faith. That brings up the question, well, why then would they, after 3 months, give him up? Or at least bring him out of hiding? Why would they not just keep on hiding him? And that's a legitimate question. The answer is, they believed that to bring him to this circumstance of casting him upon the providence of God, there was less opportunity for him to be observed and slain. And so after 3 months, when it seemed obvious that now he will be discovered, now he will be found, they followed the plan of hiding him in an ark and casting him upon the providence of God, in whom they had faith. Evidently, they brought that child. They were involved in it along with all the others. They were involved in it, not in despair, but they were involved in it saying, God will use this. They weren't abandoning the baby. They were doing what they did in faith, and God rewarded their faith because the mother kept the baby. The baby was reared under the influence of Hebrew teaching. He knew who his brethren were. We'll learn that. He knew that the Hebrews were his brethren. But God used the compassion of Pharaoh's daughter to save this one who would become the deliverer of the Hebrews out of the land of Egypt. I think there's one thing that we're going to be very conscious of, and that is that faith and common sense don't seem to have a lot in common. What faith requires us to do oftentimes counteracts and cuts across what we'd like to do humanly speaking, from the viewpoint of our wisdom. Sarah and Abraham found Hagar because that seemed to be a sensible way of fulfilling the promise of God. But that wasn't the way God intended for them to act in faith. You know, that we do have a sort of an idea that, well, brother, God helps those who help themselves. And, we say, well, if you don't do it, you know, by faith, you've got to do it. And perhaps we're saying, well, where does faith come into our lives? How can we use faith? Because, you know, where are the challenges? Where are the threats in our lives? We don't have things like this. So why do we need faith? I mean, where is the relevance to 1991? That, you know, no one wants to slay our babies. Well, we can't really say that anymore, can we? You know, our faith is in, do we do what God says? Do we do what's right, even though others don't approve of our behavior? Do we do what we know we ought to do and cut across society? Do we buck the trend? Do we stand firm? Do we just stay who we are without changing? That is, as an individual, with integrity and honesty and uprightness. Or do we become slinking, sleazy people with a lot of, quote, slime all over us because we just want to participate and partake? Well, that's where faith comes in. Do we have the faith to live like we ought to live, to be what we ought to be? Or do we say, well, it really doesn't make no difference, or it's too much trouble, takes too much effort? Now, that's where it takes faith, day by day. And one of these days, I don't know when or where, when you live by faith, and the crisis, it comes time for the Red Sea to part, then it can be parted. It comes time for the walls of Jericho to fall down, then they can fall down. But if you don't live day by day by faith, then we're unprepared. The just shall live by faith. Our musicians will come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. And next Sunday morning, God willing, we'll be looking at Moses and his decision. And that perhaps is the kind of decisions that we're facing now that makes this more relevant than perhaps we've thought. The decision that Moses made, the decisions, plural, not one, decisions that he made by faith.